You're listening to Hottery Humble.
Hello there.
Wow.
Welcome to episode 19 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast.
Yes, sir!
How annoying is that going to get?
Oh, I'm done with it already. I'm already tired of it.
I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle, and I'm joined today, as is always the case, by the greatest value that I ever did see, Chad Graham.
He is Tommy Stickle. He is Tommy Stickle. You want me to stop with the songs? I can stop
no,
with the song.
No, never.
Andrew WK, I love
Yeah,
him.
We'll just keep it going.
Okay.
So how you feeling today, Chad?
I'm good. Let me tell you something. Not Razorback related, but I'm pretty excited about it. Holidays are coming up. Christmas specifically for myself. And
Christmas for others as well.
Most people. But what happens when around Christmas? You get around family. Families, you typically say kind of sometimes obnoxious and kind of weird things. So I finally found an app where you can create your own bingo board. So I'm filling it out of like the ridiculous things my family is going to say. And I'm excited to check them off and play with my wife, hopefully convince her to play too.
That sounds, so is it going to be like a bingo game where it's just between you and your wife where y'all are the only ones kind of in on it?
Yeah.
Excellent. That's pretty fun.
It's going to be on my phone and just like when these dumb things are said, whoop, I'm very excited. I it's not a big deal at all, but those little things make me so excited.
Do you have any examples already created for yourself?
Yeah.
Let's hear a few.
Country's in bad shape. Talk about like USA.
I have a feeling that these will all fall in the kind of the okay boomer type of
yes and no.
Genre.
Some of them are for sister-in-law. One of my sister-in-laws, she'll never listen to this show, so I feel safe in saying this. She likes to talk about her neighborhood a lot. So I have three different squares. Neighborhood mentioned one, neighborhood mentioned two. Neighborhood mentioned three.
Is it one of those neighborhoods that's kind of like a status thing to live in a way?
It's not. Okay. That's the funny part.
All right.
That's the better part. President Trump. I mean, that's basically a free space.
That might as well be the free space.
Vaccines for kids.
No controversial things so far.
My nephew's eating habits. It's a long story, but it's on here. MMA, just the sport.
And MMA, interesting.
Yeah, there's a specific group pocket of my family, not my extended family, that talks about it way too much, and it's the worst. Don't get me started.
Wait, are they a fan of Thug Nasty?
Oh, the Arkansas guy.
Yeah, I don't even remember his name. I just know his social media.
When you put a microphone in front of my face, I'm going to say Arkansas.
That's that right. Did you see he won apparently again? And did you see what he said now? The new thing he said? He said something about, you know, after the win, emotional. You know, he said something about Reebok, better get him the camo shorts. But then he said something about we got really political here. If Donald Trump needs him to come beat up some politicians down there, just let him know.
Is this the kid from Searcy? Is he from Searcy?
I don't know exactly where he's from, but definitely from the heart of Arkansas. I think
they're like a really big fan of him. Okay, that just made the board. Oh man, this is great. Okay, awesome. I'm gonna continue to fill this out. But
and for those listening, the podcast neither is for nor against Donald Trump. It's a neutral.
We're neutral.
Can we be neutral? Is that okay? Can you be neutral in America?
Just did it.
Hey, we are. So there you go. That's awesome, by the way. I need to make one of those for, I wish somebody made that for this podcast. That would be funny. Michael Jordan would absolutely be on there. Tommy's body odor, probably on there. Or body hair.
But anyway, I'm doing great. Got the app. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. So where do we want to start today, Chad? I'll let you decide.
I get to start?
You get to decide where we're going.
Basketball. Let's talk hoops. Let's get out of the way.
Ah, man, how weird is it? I know you're probably going somewhere else, but how weird is it that there's so little games right now?
Yeah.
Sad.
Is it because of finals and stuff?
It's got to be.
School. What? Don't worry about school for. We're trying to watch basketball.
The NCAA putting student athletes first. What?
Trying to watch some hoops. The game, we knew it was coming. We weren't going to go undefeated this year, right? We knew it was going to happen. Western, good basketball team. Tommy enabled me to watch the game through FaceTime, which was pretty incredible. So huge props to Tommy on that. But
I feel like we need to dive in a little bit more on that.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the game. I don't even know at what point. I think it's actually in the second half, and I'm like, I'm not getting the normal amount of reactions I typically get during a given game. So I texted something, just like, I think it was after the moment we had made a nice run or something. I don't even remember. And Chad was like, I'm not getting this game. I don't get this channel on my TV. So I was like, gotta fix that. That ain't acceptable.
Immediate FaceTime.
So I FaceTimed him, and for the next hour, maybe longer, just held my phone, pointed at the screen, and Chad got to watch the game via FaceTime. And
so
it was
awesome.
And it was actually a lot of fun. I feel like we should do it more often.
Yeah, that was fun. They had every chance to win the game. They should have won the game. I hate being that guy, though, of, well, we should have won the game. But I'm not blaming refs at all, although officiating was poor. Not the refs' fault we lost this game. Hogs were up 5 with 40 seconds left. Musselman, I know you trust your guys. Put this one on you, Mus. The first thing I've put on you in negative fashion, putting this one on him. You got to help close that game out, reset the guys, call a timeout, stop fouling when you're up 5 points. So they needed a reset.
Yeah, I feel like the last minute 20 or so of regulation would be a video that they watch a lot and have a lot to learn from, because that was, in my mind, pretty much how to do it the wrong way for most things that happened. I feel like we didn't do a whole heck of a lot right in that final minute 20, which blew it for us.
Yeah. Then overtime was just bad. Bad.
It was bad. We were flat. I
had another chance, though. We were down 3 with a minute left, and Mason Jones didn't even have a shoe on. Again, could have called a timeout. Because Mason didn't have a shoe on. Nope, we just threw it to Mason Jones, who wasn't looking because he didn't have a shoe, and it went out of bounds. Then we just fell apart. So,
speaking of Mason Jones and kind of diving into the stats a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know the stat plus minus. I view it more as a hockey stat.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the first time. This year is probably the first time I've actually dove into it in basketball. So basically what it is the amount of points that a player scores versus how much are scored against him while he's on the court. So obviously if you have a negative plus minus, that means you're giving up more points than you're scoring when you're on the court. So it's pretty much an indication that you're not doing well. You know, you yourself aren't doing great.
I like that stat because it brings defense in there as well. Cause like you can just, it's a full game. Like both sides of the court, you're able to show what impact you're having on the game.
Exactly. It's a pretty good stat, I feel like, in basketball. And I was looking at Arkansas's, and I'll say, there's one that stands out big time. And it is negative 17 in that game, and that is Mason Jones. And I know Mason Jones has had his ups and his downs, but he scored 8 points in that game. They scored a bunch of points when he was in the game.
Is he still hurt? He's got to be hurt still.
Probably. I'm sure he is, but that's not good. I imagine we need to see something different in the next game for Mason Jones. I'm going to keep my eye on him. Desi Sills had a good game. He definitely finally started hitting some threes in the second half of that game. Still looked, he just chunking them up there first half and missing them. But he was the only hog that ended in positive plus minus. He was a plus six.
Also, Mason Jones was 1 for 9 from the field. Brutal. Are we going to play more than six? We're going to give more than six guys meaningful minutes in the game. I saw in Nevada, that Musselman didn't even, he played like six, seven guys there too. So is this his thing? Is this just how he does? Like how he operates? Or
I guess so.
These guys are tired, man. Overtime, you can tell.
And why would you not call timeouts when your guys are tired? That's the part I don't necessarily get.
Yeah.
You know, Good point. In hockey, they call timeouts, you know, they get one and they call it because they have one. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you really think it's going to be that much of an advantage or like, I don't get that mentality. I'm sure there has to be analytics somehow that he's seen that prove the opposite, but it just doesn't make sense to me brain of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he justifies it because lets them set up a defensive play, whatever. I don't buy in on that. And it also, like, it creates an opportunity for a turnover. But I mean, how many times have we turned it over on an inbounds? So hopefully we'll see if he's going to stick with that all year. Surely in conference play, he's got to flex a little.
And pretty much our plays have been just give it to Isaiah Joe or Mason Jones and let them shimmy and throw up a prayer to win the game. Like,
got to do better than that.
Yeah. So you're telling me that's what you want. Like, that percentage shot is what you think is the best thing to do at the end of the game. There has to be a way to get a higher percentage shot that if you call a timeout, even if their defense is set, that you can get into, surely, right?
Yeah. I mean, I like his inbounds plays, too. They work. And I was kind of glad Mason missed that last second heave at the end of regulation because he made his Georgia Tech one, so now he feels like he can do it all, right?
Yep.
Not saying anything bad about Mason, but you can't. That's not a high percentage shot.
Definitely was one of his worst games, I imagine. I haven't been paying close enough attention to know, but it's got to be one of his worst games.
When he did a little kick in the, you know, we're not undefeated anymore. They're not invincible. So let's take it out on Tulsa, you know what I'm saying? Saturday, beat them down.
Tulsa, Saturday, December 14th at 12:30 p.m. So we got a little midday game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So schedule your house projects, your Christmas, whatever you might be doing, whatever is going on December 14th. Mark the time, 12:30, ESPNU. Should be a good game.
7-2.
Chad, who has Tulsa beat and lost to?
I saw they just lost to Arkansas State. So their most previous game, they played out. So they're doing a little tour of Arkansas. They lost to Arkansas State, and then they destroyed Arkansas UAPB 72-39. So Arkansas State beat them by 3. I'm seeing anything notable here. Ooh, they beat Vanderbilt by 9.
Home or away?
At Vandy.
Wow. Vandy's not that great, but still, they could beat us. I mean, they're a decent team.
UT Arlington beat them.
Hmm.
So they're looking at UT Arlington and Arkansas State losses. Vanderbilt, however.
Is that their quality win?
Yeah, it's Vandy. Vandy hasn't beaten anybody of note. So, yeah, it could happen. It's no cupcake.
No cupcake.
It's not like a win if we beat Tulsa that we're, you know, bragging about, but it's not one to overlook.
So Chad, give Tulsa a grade. I want you to give, I want the Chad Graham. If you have a, I want you to grade teams in a tier like A to F. Give them a grade.
Tulsa's a C-.
C-minus team. All right. So we got a C-minus team coming in. Better get the W.
Western. I know you're not asking for this. Totally unprompted. I think Western's a B-. B-.
Without Chris, is it Chris Bassey or Charles Bassey?
Charles.
Forget. Charles Bassey. Without Charles Bassey, they're not a B-minus anymore.
C-.
Yeah, probably. We'll see. I mean, I think that they responded after he went out and tons of players started playing better. And I think that obviously it was kind of, the game got unpredictable at that point, you know. I don't think on the scouting report we had those players pegged to be doing what they were doing. So I think I think that's where the game kind of slipped away from us. Once he came out, it was like, it just got weird, you know. I almost kind of wish he'd stayed in, because he actually, while he was in the game, was, let's see, he was negative 10 plus minus.
They planned great for him. I mean, how they fronted Bassey and then had the help side defense on the other side, it was great. So he's out for the rest of the season.
Yep, done.
Fractured tibia. That was brutal.
Looked ugly. Well, I just want to play something for you, Chad. I don't know if you have heard this yet, but it looks like somebody did a video of Jimmy Witt kind of talking a little bit about the team and leadership. Let's play this and react.
Coach's job is to point out what we can do better. So from my standpoint, not everyone needs to do. If coach's job is to point out what we can do better and how he can get us better, we're going to need someone that uplifts us every day, someone that points us in the direction of, it's always positive, you can always get better, there's always something, there's always a silver lining to things. So I feel like as a leader, you have to see the makeup of your team. So I feel like that's where I come in. And you always need someone to uplift guys, especially after a loss. It's easy after when everybody's happy, everybody's feeling good. But when you lose, the coach's job is to go back and find ways we can get better and come in and make sure we're on it, make sure we're on top of everything. So we're going to need somebody that comes in and make sure guys are like, how you feeling? You feeling good? Like, feeling positive? Because at the end of the day, positivity breeds positivity.
So Jimmy Witt is absolutely a sunshine pumper.
Love it. That's me. Jimmy, man, we get along.
Jimmy Witt's personality is not what I expected of him. I'll be honest, he's much more kind of chill and subdued and like good vibes than I thought, you know. I thought he'd be more intense and
really,
maybe, I hate using the word egotistical. That's a bad word, but anybody that's successful at things can have an ego about themselves, but he seems extremely humble and just kind of low key and about the team. I like Jimmy Witt.
It is hard to be humble. Just ask him.
Maybe he's not a good fit for Arkansas then. Or maybe he's the perfect fit because he's mastered, even because it's hard.
Very well spoken. It's what he's saying is so true, man. You got to have somebody out there being positive. I am a firm believer in that. There's a book called The Happiness Advantage. I don't know if you've ever read it before. You ever heard of the book before?
I've heard of it, have not read it. Who wrote it?
Happiness Advantage, author is Sean Aker. And I was actually a part of like a book club type deal at my work. And really
Lame.
A book a month.
Nerd.
Yeah, total nerded out. I read most of them. It's like for a whole year.
That's good. I love books.
And it was like true though. It's really good. Like I totally recommend it. And they're like proven studies on like how you react and like proven cases of like coming in with like there is a scientific happiness advantage. So maybe Jimmy Witt read the book. We should get on the show and ask him.
Jimmy.
If you're listening.
Yeah. Maybe what I'm starting to think is, Chad, I know we thought that Adriel Bailey was the culture, was the culture champion of the team. I'm thinking that maybe it's both, but I'm feeling a lot of that from Jimmy Witt lately. I mean, he's kind of become our star player.
I think the star player. I had to think about that.
I think he's our top scorer, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so he's not quite leading the team, but Jimmy Witt has 134 points on the season, so he's a little bit behind Isaiah Joe, 10 points behind Isaiah Joe. He's leading, but still, I feel like when you look at the the body of work, like all the stats combined, Jimmy Witt's killing it right now. He's doing so good. He's rebounding like a maniac. 12 rebounds the last game. 12 from a point guard. 12.
And you can tell that, like, Musselman probably really challenged him to, hey, we need rebounding. You can go rebound.
Yep. Jimmy Witt leading the team in rebounds with 56. Next is actually Mason Jones with 47. Isaiah Joe, not too shabby with 41.
Man, we got to get more out of Reggie Chaney. Reggie, we need more of you.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's coming along, though. We got anything else for the basketball team, Chad?
I think that's about it for hoops. That's it. I feel good. I don't feel worse or better about basketball after losing to Western. It's about where I thought they'd be.
I agree.
What's about it?
I agree. So let's just briefly touch on hockey, as we always do. They played two games at Ole Miss. They actually lost the game 3-1, but then they beat them again the night after 5-2.
The timing of when they lost to Ole Miss was incredible.
Yeah.
Why'd you lose to them that night?
Yeah.
Coincided with another event where we also something else happened with Ole Miss.
Well, let's just get into that straight away. I mean, there's not a lot to say about hockey. They have some more games this upcoming weekend at Kansas. So watch the live streams and stuff. Go follow them on social media if you want to go check them out. But yeah, let's talk about the new coach, Sam Pittman. So let's see. Do we want to talk about Pittman first, or do we want to talk about the coaching search that led in to the Pittman pinnacle event?
I don't know if it's even worth it. It's even worth the time. It's a joke. I don't believe any of it. I know you believe part of it, but
let me tell you, here's what I believe, okay? So you can hear this. You can totally think it's fake. You can totally believe it. I don't care. Make your own judgments. But this this story, I think, is the true story. And if you don't believe it, fine, whatever. That's what truth is about. Apparently, in postmodernism, you can believe whatever truth you want to believe. I think. And the reason I think it is... I am a member, like a VIP, whatever, pay for to be a member of Trey Biddy's hogsports.com, okay, message boards. People post stuff. And, of course, everyone thinks they, you know, have sources or they say stuff, okay? It was going like crazy. But I think there's one person that actually does have a true source who's really close to the situation because they gave out what they said is the true story of the coaching search. And then Trey Biddy, after the fact, said, this dude knows what he's talking about. This is the true story. So Trey Biddy backed it up. He didn't necessarily throw this out there like this, but since Trey Biddy agreed with this, I trust it. And it just makes sense to me. And here's what this guy said. Okay, this coaching hire was a disaster and don't even know where to start. But let's just say nobody would take the job when all was said and done except Sam Pittman. Right after we fired Morris, two big names expressed interest in taking the job, Kiffin and Leach. From the beginning, Matt Campbell, was our number one, but he had no interest, so we moved on to Kiffin. Early this past week, which was, you know, last week, it was 100% Kiffin's and his job until Ole Miss got in the picture. So if they would never have pursued him, he would have been a hog. All the rumors of them outbidding us or that we pulled our offer are not true whatsoever. And I guess he was saying that's fine if you think that that's, you know, what you want to have think happened to be happy. Like, we pulled the offer. You know, there was some people saying that, you know, we kind of got in a bidding war with Jimmy Sexton, and basically Arkansas had an offer and then Ole Miss offered, but it was lower than what Arkansas offered. And so Jimmy Sexton was trying to play the game and Arkansas withdrew the higher offer, which actually hurt Kiffin, and that makes Hog fans feel better. Yeah, I really... That doesn't make sense, and I don't think I don't think it's true at all. Kiffin chose the Ole Miss job over us simply because of the fact of where our program is at the moment. It was never a money issue or a contract issue, just unfortunately that job is more attractive when it comes to winning games early and where the two programs stand. After Kiffin was off the table, we did offer the job to Leach as well, even though he expressed interest in the beginning. When it came down to it, he turned down the offer as well, because he didn't think it was his best interest to turn around the job. And then once Leach was off the table, we moved to Drinkwitz, Eli, and offered him the job too, which he also turned down. And it kind of coincides with what Sam Pittman even said in his introductory press conference when the media asked him like how it shaped up, he was like, yeah, just kind of like on Saturday night, I just got a call and it all came together, you know? Yeah. It's because we hadn't been talking to Sam for a long time. He was very far down our list of guys. So yeah, that's basically the bottom line. This guy also says, you know, expect Barry Odom to likely be our defensive coordinator and expect a guy named Jay Johnson as our offensive coordinator. He's bounced around a few places. I think he's currently at Boise State, or was it Boise? I think he's at Boise State now. I could be mistaken on that. But bottom line, nobody wanted this job. Nobody except Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. I have zero expectation. We've hit the bottom. So, come on. Wow me and win 4 games. That's where I'm at.
Yes. Yes. That's where I'm at, too. I mean, I think it's a good fit. I think Pittman fits Arkansas, obviously. He wants to be here, but I don't think it's a good hire. Like, you know, when you stack it up against, okay, I know this isn't realistic, but when you look at college football landscape and stack it up to, like, could we have potentially hired Urban Meyer? Sure. Of course we wouldn't. Don't get me wrong, but that would be a great hire. And then you got Sam Pittman. I know he wants to be at Arkansas, and he has potential of being a good coach. Obviously, he's a good coach, but it's just a great fit because he really has nothing to lose and everything to gain. If he fails, let's say he only wins 2-2. Like, let's say he wins just like Chad Morris. Well, what's he going to do? He's going to get fired, and he's going to go get another O-line job anywhere he wants. Like, he loses nothing, in my opinion. He can go do whatever he wants, and he'll be fine. But I think he's the right fit for the job. I don't think there's a lot of other guys that got it. I like him over Drinkwitz. I wouldn't have wanted Drinkwitz at all. That's just more of the same. Drinkwitz seems like a joke. He already said something stupid in his first press conference where he said Mizzou's going to – their goal is to win the Sun Belt. You know, I don't know if you saw that.
Oops.
And then he goes, oh, SEC East. Anyways. Yeah, not a big believer there. Any thoughts with you, Chad? Pittman.
You know how I feel. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm glad there's no stupid hashtags and whatnot. But let's stop with the yes, sir. Like, all right, you got it.
That ain't stopping. That ain't stopping. And that's going to get annoying. I'm sure he'll recruit well. You know, I'm sure he'll do fine there. I think we'll look better on the field than we did under Morris. I think we'll look more put together, but I don't know, man.
And in the same breath, Chad Morris gets hired as offensive coordinator at Auburn. Crazy.
It is crazy.
QBs beware at Auburn. Beware.
And just the stupid irony of it all is he'll probably be decent, you know. He'll probably do good just because that's how it goes, you know. it's just stupid, but he was not the right guy for our job, I can tell you that.
No.
It's funny all the stuff that's coming out since he's left and how the players are just... I mean, players are just like any other human, especially young humans, where they'll jump on any bandwagon. So they were super excited about Morris when he came. They thought he could win, but the second you start losing and then they know they're losers, they're off. They hate you, you know? So they hate Morris for good reason. They lost, you know? If he had won, they wouldn't hate him. You know, look at Urban Meyer. When you hear stories about Urban Meyer, everybody hates Urban Meyer, but he wins, mm-hmm. So they like him, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Chad, let's listen to a voicemail that we got.
Yes.
From one of our favorites, Andy in Memphis.
Andy.
Tommy, Andy here. Hey, man, just want to call let you know I'm extremely happy with this coaching hire. In fact, it probably would have been my second choice if we didn't get Mike Norvell. Okay, Sam Pittman, I honestly thought we might get him if we brought in somebody else, which is why I was excited about getting that other person to begin with. And then when he didn't come here, I was like, oh, crap. So I didn't think we'd ever get back on Pittman. So I'm extremely happy we're going to get Pittman. I'm going to tell you why. It doesn't matter. He's never been a coordinator. The man has connections. And if you look at the playoff committee, I mean the playoff teams right now, 3 of the 4 head coaches there were never an OC or DC either. And they've got their teams playing in championships. All right. Philip Fulmer was an O-line coach who went and won a national championship at Tennessee. You don't have to be a coordinator to be a great head coach. It's all about who you know and getting the right people in the right positions. And Sam Pittman is one of those people, right? He's an elite coach at his position, O-line. He knows good people. You'd not be surprised if we end up with Barry Odom as DC or Randy Shannon, right? He knows he's got to get a good OC, and I don't think he's going to bring in Chaney because he knows part of the reason he left the first time is because the fan base didn't want Chaney here anyway. So he's going to get great coaches in here. This thing's going to take off, boys. We're going to get better. All right, talk to y'all later. Bye.
Good call from Andy. He brings up a great point. I agree with him that you don't have to be a coordinator to be a good head coach. The argument of the college football playoff teams not having it, it's also because it's LSU. I mean, and the pedigree of the schools that are in there.
Clemson.
I mean,
Ohio State. OU. Yeah, yeah, they're the big dogs.
Those are powerhouses. But you don't have to be a coordinator head coaching experience. I'd prefer it, but it's not. I don't think it's going to hold him back from being a great coach. That's a good point.
I agree. I don't think it will hold him back, and I do think the connections are very important. We will see a lot by the coaches he brings in. I'll already say, though, okay, we're already seeing negative signs already. I know people won't think it's a big deal. It's a big deal that we lost Traylor to UTSA. I know he took a head coaching position, and we lost Barry Lunney. That's a really big deal. They basically were told they could stay. They chose not to. Don't just dismiss that like, oh yeah, of course they would. No, that's a big deal. That's a sign. That's a big sign.
That's a good point.
They jump ship. They don't see it. You could say that, but look at UTSA. University of Texas San Antonio. That's where he wanted to go. That's just another job. And I know that some people would disagree with me and think, of course, it's a no-brainer. But I think if they saw, especially Lunney, if they saw opportunity with Pittman and saw that taken off, they would have stayed. But they know it's going to be hard. They know it could hurt their career if they stay. So they jump ship. Bottom line.
Yeah, I will say this piece of it. And I'm okay with losing everyone associated to the last team that we've had. I know there's talent. I know there's good coaches. But it doesn't impact me that much of, look what we're missing out on. I know Rakeem Boyd was a big fan of him, but it doesn't bother me at all. Maybe it should. But you bring up a good point of, it's a bad sign. But maybe we need someone new in there. Obviously, some of these folks were a part of the 4-20 teams we had. I'm okay.
I think it's a bad sign because, what's going to happen is Pittman's going to have those dudes he's close with, okay, his friends, and he's going to hire them, okay? And they might be good, but if they aren't, he ain't going to attract anybody else to this job, and it's going to tank bad.
I mean, we already tanked. Could it get worse?
Yes, it could get worse. I think there's a lot of optimism is what I'm trying to say. I think there's a lot of optimism that because of his connections, he can bring in these coaches, these great, and I think a lot of Hawks, even I was thinking this for like a couple minutes. I was like, oh, so if we pay Pittman less money as a head coach, that means we can pay our assistants more and we could do like LSU and Clemson and pay an offensive coordinator $1.5 or $2 million. We can get one of the best ones. We can get one of the best defensive coordinators. It don't work that way, people.
No.
At all. Those guys get paid that much because they are producing on the field and they get raised to that level. No one's going to come in and give up anything like that. I mean, Barry Odom, he's probably going to be our best hire, it seems like. He's probably going to have a pretty good defense. He'll probably make something like $1 million. And I think that's about as good as it can get. That's where I'm at. So I say all that to say,
where
don't set your expectations high, people. We aren't going to bring in We're not going to bring in Dave Aranda at LSU to run our offense. We're not going to bring in Joe Brady at LSU, who's the passing game coordinator who just lit up. We're not. It's not going to happen. He's not going to leave that job. There's way more opportunity where he's at with a Heisman candidate. Why would you leave that? Even if you're going to get paid $1 million more, you wouldn't leave that in that position unless you're the head coach. You just wouldn't. Sorry. It's not going to happen. Now, could we bring in somebody like Rhett Lashley, who's the offensive coordinator at SMU? Sure. Absolutely. That's definitely possible. Just temper your expectations. It's not going to be huge and splashy. And if stuff starts working, that's when we can get the good guys in. But it ain't going to happen here at the beginning.
Who knows?
I know, Chad. I know everything. I know nothing.
You want to know who knows? I know. We'll just see. I feel better about this guy being in seat than Chad Morris. So
I will say something. It's comical to look at our recruiting right now. It's hilarious. We are ranked like 114th in the country because everybody bailed. And we knew that would happen, but whatever. It is what it is. But it's going to be slow. It's going to be a slow turnaround. But at least we can, what I'd like to see, literally my only expectation for this upcoming 2020 season, when we walk into Notre Dame, I don't even know their home field. What's their home field called? Doesn't matter.
Oh, geez, doesn't matter.
When we walk in there, all I want us to do, we're going to lose by 50, and that's okay. I just want us to hit some people. That's all I want. Yeah. That's my expectation. That's all we as Hog fans should hope for. Just hit some people.
Yeah.
If we're just tough and not pouting and not look like a bunch of wimps on the sidelines, I'll be happy. That's what I want to see change. I want us to have some pride and at least hit some people, even if we're terrible.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
That's about it. And that's your expectations.
Here's what I want. Here's what I'm sick of already, Tommy. People on social media saying, in all caps, give him time. As if we didn't give our previous coach time. Yes, we did. Like, calm down. Everyone's like, it's going to take time, Hog fans.
Greg McElroy. Hate you, Greg.
First of all, listen here. You can't lose to two really bad non-conference schools 2 years in a row. Like, can't do it. Like, you can't lose to Western Kentucky and San Jose State embarrassingly, and you can't celebrate like you did over Colorado State, like you did, and not win an SEC game in 2 full years when very capable of beating some of those teams. So we gave him plenty of time. And so I'm just sick of, like, that message. I know it's going to take time. No, and I expected Chad Morris to go 4-8 this year. He did not meet my expectation. So I expect Pittman to go 3-9. We're playing Notre Dame.
Yep.
I expect 4-8. I think he's going to get us a conference win next year based off of nothing at all.
Yeah.
But we're due one. We're due a conference win.
We're due one.
And we will lose to Notre Dame, and we should win those other three, whatever, the whoever's. And that's – but here's the crazy thing, Tommy – is even just going 3-1 in non-conference is already an improvement.
Yes.
Over the past 2 years. Isn't that insane?
It is insane. And it's doable. I mean,
it
is this. Okay. I've said a million times, I don't like when people say we don't have talent on the team. We have just as much talent as plenty of other SEC teams. I don't like it. We got talent, okay?
We don't have talent.
It's about coaching players. So many teams win with more talent or win with less talent. And they're coaches that got fired, okay? Coaches that got fired for not winning enough games were better coaches than what we had with way more talent, okay? We had a coach who could not coach our players, period. You put different people in different situations, they do fine. It's never an indication, like, is Chad Morris just flat out just the worst coach in America? No, he's the worst coach in America for the Arkansas Razorbacks. I can tell you that. But he'll be fine at Auburn. He'll be fine at Clemson. He's a fine coach other places. You just have to fit the culture and the personality. And he came in and blew it. He came in and the first thing out of his mouth ticked off the players, and they hated him from that moment onward, especially when he lost. That was what he did. He had too much ego. He had the Texas ego that I really don't like. When you
you're going to get on a soapbox there.
Oh, no, hold on. I wasn't going to go too far.
See that look in your face. You're getting fired up.
I hate
up.
The Texas ego.
Give me what letter grade of talent. Where's Arkansas letter grade? A
compared to what? Give me a worst. Compared to like all of Division I football, SEC, Power 5. Give me a letter grade.
SEC. Well, hold on. First letter grade, I want you to give me – what's our letter grade in the SEC? Talent-wise, and then second letter grade you're going to give me as you think through this is over the past 5 years, how does this team talent-wise rank against those?
Okay, I'm trying to think through every position group. We have a five. Okay, can I say the 2019 season, or do I have to move forward? Like, can I include Sosa and Scuda and everyone that was on the team this
year's
year?
Team.
Okay,
this
we team. Had a five-star lineman, okay? We have the exact same team as Ole Miss. Exact same. Exact same talent. They have a five-star defensive lineman on their defense. We're so similar to Ole Miss, it's comical. They were better than us. We have more talent than Mizzou. More. They beat us. SEC East teams. We have more talent than Vanderbilt. I mean, we would be
Kentucky.
D. We would be, Kentucky, we would probably be a D-plus of SEC talent. I mean, I'm not trying to say we're like great in the, we're not great in the SEC, but we're just as good. We're probably top of the bottom tier in talent right now in the SEC.
Okay.
Probably those teams we listed would be the least talent, and we'd be one of the top of those. Now, you want to look in Power 5, we're probably...
maybe even over Mississippi State, possibly.
Possibly, yeah. It's about coaching. They just had so much better coaches. And I would say in Power 5 or whatever, you know, if there's whatever, 50-something Power 5...
past 5 years.
Oh, past five years.
Just Arkansas. Yeah.
So right now, our team compared to other teams in our past, are we more talented or less talented?
Yes. Yep. That's a tough one.
I have to think it through.
Bielema.
Bielema's first year, I don't think we had a lot of talent on the team. I'm really trying to think this through.
Give me your gut.
I mean, it's just...
my thoughts...
go ahead.
I'm not a firm believer. It's just because of the product on the field. And you're probably right. It's not fair because the coaching wasn't great. But the quarterback play just worries me. Offensive line is bad. Receivers are good. Running back's good. Defense, I don't know what happened. They were so bad. I don't know if it was the coaching, but it was so bad. That's what worries me the most. So receivers and running backs are the only thing that get me excited.
Yeah, we got plenty of wide receiver talent, plenty of running back talent. Honestly, we have plenty of quarterback talent, but they had it too complicated. They couldn't even get them to play decent.
It was vanilla by
It was terrible.
Design.
We have talent everywhere. I just don't like that excuse. We were thin at linebacker, thin at offensive line. Everybody knows that, okay? That's our weak spots, I would say. And then I don't know. It's just as talented as any. I'd have to think more about it. We had some good offensive linemen. Had some good offensive linemen under Bielema. Frank Ragnow, really good. That line with Tratola. Actually, we had Darius Filon. We had Trey Flowers. That team was the most talented that we've had in the past 5 years. I think that's the 2015 team, I think, that had Spate, Filon, Flowers on defense, and we didn't even win that many games. We beat Texas that year in the bowl game. And we had BA quarterback. We had Tratola, Kirkland, Was Ragnow might have been the center of that team. Anyways, we had a really stud offensive line. That was the most talented team we've had in the past 5 years.
Yeah, that was a good team.
This team is probably somewhere in the middle, I would say. What else we got to say about the football forecast?
I'm just glad to put that to rest till the spring practice overreactions occur. Just need a break from football. Need a break.
Pretty shocking that Sam Pittman said out loud that he would run an RPO style offense, I thought, and not do a pro style. I was fully expecting, if you had asked me before that press conference how much money I would bet that Jim Chaney was going to be our offensive coordinator, I would have bet $100. And I'm not a betting man. That's a lot of money to me. That's a lot of money.
They go everywhere together.
And apparently all the sources say no chance of that, and he wants to run an RPO.
They probably go to the bathroom together too.
There, I don't know how many bathrooms they'd fit in together. Jim Chaney is a big man.
Yeah, it is.
It's a problem, Chad. Pittman's okay. Chaney's got a problem, man.
Yeah, he's got a problem. He does. Just think about Chaney, Bielema, and Pittman. Whew.
They better reinforce the floorboards. Good gravy. Well, let's say thanks to the people listening and the fans of this podcast. Thank you for listening. Appreciate y'all. Seems like we are steadily on the uptick, maybe because people are just more interested in hearing stuff now that the football season's kind of gotten interesting, because it was just couldn't have been less interesting for most of it. And anyone listening, hey, thank you. Y'all rock. As always, go follow the podcast on Twitter at @humble_podcast. I'm on Instagram at @hardtobehumblepodcast. Just joined TikTok today.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Hard to Be Humble Podcast. Literally haven't put anything on there. Don't know what I'm going to put on there, but I'm going to put something. I'm going to go TikToking. We'll see.
TikToking.
Chad, I need you to be TikToking too. I plan on giving you the most A-plus premium TikTok content that can be made for Arkansas fans. There's not a lot on there, to be honest, yet. I'm gonna make it. It's gonna be something.
First to market.
And of course, if you want to get heard on the show, just like Annie in Memphis loves to get heard on the show, give us a call, 615-392-0107. I got excited this week because I saw another number call into the phone line. Thought they were gonna leave a voice message. It's a number I never heard before, never saw before, didn't leave one. So You, if you're listening, think you have like the Memphis region, come on, leave a voicemail. Come on, please. We'd love to hear you. We won't make fun of you. We're nice. We won't call you a young lady. Promise. We're so very respectful. Well, as Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble. Isn't that right, Chad?
Especially
Arkansas Razorback fan.
Razorback fan.
Woo pig suey, baby.
Woo pig.